Yeah, I know it's coming. Well, keep this line open. Hello? Get me the hospital again. The hospital!
Take it easy. She'll be all right.
You see, it's a boy.
September 3rd, 1939. In Europe, a storm broke. In Canada, a child was born. Into what sort of world?
To most Canadians, war seemed far away. Even though on its second day, one lone ship was sunk as it sailed for Montreal.
1,000 days later, Canadians were at death's grip with an underwater foe who reached to their very shores in his struggle for world conquest.
Days of excitement. Emergency cabinet meetings were called. Parliament was hurriedly assembled. On war's seventh day, Canada formally declared its position as a partner in the coming struggle.
Time has come, then, to save our Christian civilization, we must be prepared to lay down our lives for its preservation.
As Canada's small peacetime army was called out to guard canals and power plants and bridges, her young men were lining up at recruiting stations and training for the kind of war their fathers fought 25 years before. But the familiar uniform of those other days was replaced by the strange new battle dress. The days slipped by as Canada wrestled with its mighty new problems, overcoming obstacles, removing bottlenecks.
This war will call for the use of machines on a tremendous scale.
The members of our defense forces have voluntarily enlisted their lives.
We'll be spending on this war this first year about...
We're not doing enough.
That means work. For our people,
we're not doing it the right way.
We are launching a scheme.
The first 100 days saw plans laid to train airmen for the whole empire in Canada.
The first 100 days saw military vehicles appearing on the assembly lines of Canadian automobile factories.
Saw the nation's capital swarming with new clerical help and technical advisors housed in temporary office buildings.
Saw the first Bren guns made in a new Canadian plant.
1,000 days later, this had become the largest machine gun factory in the world.
Saw, too, the first contingent of the Canadian Active Service Force cross the Atlantic without the loss of a single man.
1,000 days later, nearly 250,000 Canadians had crossed without the loss of a single man. A dagger pointed at the heart of Germany.
Days of excitement gave way to days of skepticism.
Funny kind of war this is.
Funny war? It's a phony war, if you ask me.
Here's a queer one. Owing to neutrality laws, planes bought from American factories cannot be flown across the border.
I think we've got Hitler bluffed. He doesn't dare risk a first-class war.
All this talk of Hitler making peace proposals is the bunk. He's getting ready. And when he's ready, he's going to strike.
Hitler strike!
The black days of disillusion.
So 300 days of war bring us to this.
Well, at least we're in the finals.
Yep. So now our poor old empire's all alone in the world.
Sure. They hold 500 million of us.
Fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing ground. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
To the amazing accompaniment of a song came the days of determination.
Great Britain looks to Canada for equipment. Motorized equipment in vast quantities. She needs it urgently. Canada must become the machine shop for the Empire.
Hurry, hurry, hurry.
And on war's 351st day, every adult Canadian and his abilities were registered.
Can you milk a cow?
No.
Can you drive a
can
cow?
You
drive
can
a you
away?
Milk a cow?
Can you drive can a you cow? Run a
there are things a man has to do if he wants to live with himself. There are things he must do.
Canada began to beat out the tempo of must.
I must work.
More shells, more planes, more ships.
I must buy war bonds.
More money for more equipment, more supplies.
I must go.
More sailors, more soldiers, more airmen.
I must carry on.
Must, must, must. Canada beats out the tempo of must.
Military vehicles produced in Canadian plants won laurels on African battlefronts. And Canadian-made anti-aircraft shells were finding their mark in the skies of the battle for Britain. But the war still seemed far off to Canadians.
Even though they were welcoming to their unmolested shores, little refugees from an enemy's indiscriminate fury.
Even though they were guarding welcome visitors from overseas whose fighting days were done.
But the war seemed closer as they cared for survivors of the grim Battle of the Atlantic. And it seemed closer still when an aroused United States traded 50 destroyers to Britain and Canada in exchange for hemisphere defense bases. 50 more destroyers to help protect the convoys carrying Canada's growing supply of munitions to the battlefronts. To help guard the increasing stream of soldiers and airmen to the island fortress. In Canada, a child was 1 year old. In Canada, there were lonely hearts. Women without men carried on, and children prayed for a daddy they scarcely remembered. But smiles masked their loneliness as the women of Canada did their bit in a thousand ways for their men on the ramparts of freedom. Eager, tireless fingers. The days of winter marched by. 1940 became 1941. Bleak days for free men, fighting doggedly against an unweakened enemy.
Free men. Canada became a haven where men of occupied but unconquered countries could get their second wind, could train and equip to fight back. Norwegians at Little Norway in Toronto. Man from the Netherlands at Stratford. The Polish Legion at Windsor. Free Belgians at Joliet. Free men all, grateful for Canada's hospitality, sharing Canada's grim confidence that their day would come.
In the churches across the Dominion, humble prayers were being offered up for strength and victory.
The unchained powers of darkness are waging a ruthless and relentless war against Christianity and God himself. We therefore, humbly and with contrite heart and in a penitential spirit, beseech the Lord God of hosts to assist us to overcome the forces of evil and make our way to justice and to peace.
Days of expansion. In the race against time, vast new industries were being created. Acres of new factory space were being constructed. For the first time, optical glass was produced in Canada. The first tanks rumbled off the assembly line. Canadian 25-pounder field guns made their appearance. Universal carriers were in production in a plant built and equipped since war began. To save shipping space, a pipeline for oil was constructed between Maine and Montreal. Even the northern wilderness felt war's impact as airfields were carved from the forests of northern British Columbia and the Yukon. In the race against time, every minute counted. Everywhere. Then, on the 657th day, the enemy struck again.
So another stab in the back by the Axis gives us a new friend.
Well, it certainly looks bad. I suppose it'll be the same thing again. The Germans go through them like...
But as long as they can tie up Adolf's army, they're giving us the chance of a lifetime.
We must do everything we can to keep Russia fighting.
Surgical supplies for Russia. 1,000 cases shipped on 56 hours' notice by the Canadian Red Cross. Canadian tanks for Russia. Canadian products of all kinds for Russia. And so that other vital fronts might not suffer, that meant increased production, more employment, bigger payrolls, more money, and fewer goods for home consumption. And that meant greater risk of dreaded inflation. So Canada pioneered in price ceilings and frozen wage rates.
Tonight, I am asking the women of Canada, who do four times as much buying as the men, to assist in the important war job of keeping prices under control. With the help of the thousands of honest and patriotic merchants, prices can be held and the ruin of a runaway inflation of prices avoided.
On war's 825th day...
Hello? Yes, yes. Washington and Ottawa. Right. To the West Coast.
To the West Coast.
To British Columbia.
To the West Coast.
To Alaska.
To the West Coast.
Now the democracy is new. At last the masks were off, and friend and foe stood clear. Canadian troops sailed away to help strengthen the little garrison of Hong Kong. American troops came to Canada to build a highway to Alaska. And from the old world to the new, blew Britain's gallant premier for momentous conferences.
Canada, sir, occupies a unique position in the British Empire, drawing together those in the New World and in the Old, whose fortunes are now united in a deadly struggle for life and honor against the common foe. We did not make this war. We did not seek it. We did all we could to avoid it. We did too much to avoid it. We went so far in trying to avoid it as to be almost destroyed by it when it broke upon us. But that dangerous corner has been turned. The peoples of the British Empire may love peace. They do not seek the lands or wealth of any country. But they are a tough and hardy lot. We shall never descend to the German and Japanese level. But if anybody likes to play rough, we can play rough too. Hitler and his Nazi gang have sown the wind. Let them reap the whirlwind. Let us then, sir, address ourselves to our task, not in any way underrating its tremendous difficulties and perils, but in good heart and sober confidence, resolved that whatever the cost, whatever the suffering, we shall stand by one another, true and faithful comrades, and do our duty, God helping us, to the end.
Days of war. The Allies became the United Nations. Days of growing power. Free men banded together, pooling and regulating their resources. As with nations, so with individuals.
Sugar. Silk.
Gasoline.
Rubber. Everything non-essential.
Everything useful. Money.
Manpower.
Manpower. Manpower to keep the wheels of war turning at full speed in Canada's days of high gear. And so passed the 1,000 days of getting into stride, of holding off while getting ready. Perhaps the most important 1,000 days in the history of mankind. During those 1,000 days, Canada's Navy grew from 15 ships to 500,000. Canada's Army grew from a garrison parade force to 500,000 men.
Canada's Air Force grew from 4,000 men to 120,000.
Canadian industry built the second largest tank arsenal on the continent.
The largest machine gun plant in the world.
The aircraft industry expanded its personnel by 40 times. The days of high gear.
400 planes a month, 9 different types. 100 types of military vehicles.
Of guns.
1,000,000 shells a month, 21 types.
1,000,000,000 rounds of small arms ammunition a year.
More chemicals and explosives in 6 months than in the entire last war.
200 combat ships already launched, 700 more under construction.
A 10,000 ton cargo ship every 4 days.
Food supplies.
Parachutes.
Thoughts, bits and pieces. Supplies.
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 Supplies. Supplies. Supplies. Supplies.
All this to get ready. And now our turn is coming. If we don't let down.
We have stood up to the enemy.
We can strike back
harder, longer.
Now it's our turn
to choose when and where we strike. And when we do, Watch out!